Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Oh, hello and welcome. I'm Morgana Ray, and this is my husband, Devin.
And I'm here, too.
Yes, you are.
Sitting next to you, and we're crazy, and we're sexy. And
definitely midlife.
We're totally midlife.
And in love.
Yeah, these are all good things.
Yes, they are. Before we dive in a little about me, I have been a life and business coach for 26 years. 2002, I figured out that I couldn't really do either without learning relationship coaching. So I've also been coaching relationships for almost 2 decades. And Devin, you've been coaching relationship for
many, many, many moons.
Ever.
Yes. I think after you've made every mistake that it's conceivable to make within a relationship, with any luck, you've learned a lot about the failing of it.
Yes.
How to improve it.
Yes. And even though professionally I'm best known for relationship with money, without fail, the first thing that comes up when money is no longer the issue is love. I think that's the issue behind all issues. And it's my favorite topic in the world. Devin is my favorite person in the world. So we decided to create a show about love. And it's so much better as grown-ups than my experience when I was younger. So welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. And I'm really excited about today's show.
Yeah, no, we've got a great show. And it is with a woman who is really sort of a very integral part of our second wedding.
This was not a planned wedding. It was sort of an accident. Devin had a press trip.
Yeah, I had a press trip, and I don't mind saying it was through Mexico and through the Marriott. And they were really fantastic. And it was right around the time where I think we had been married for about 2 weeks. For those who don't know, I'm also the editor-in-chief of The No Traveler, and I have had the great fortune to travel all around the world. And as the pandemic clears, which I'm hoping we are in a clearing point, as that clears, hopefully we'll start traveling more and more again, because I love it, and have had the good fortune to travel to 85 countries around the world. And so I write articles about the places that I visit through my website in The No Traveler. And I had gotten an invitation to visit and review the Marriott in
Puerto Vallarta.
That's it, Puerto Vallarta. And it's a beautiful location, really remarkable place. Yeah, it's
Marriott.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And because of the timing, Devin asked if I could come too, and we made that our honeymoon.
I don't even think I asked. I think they had found, seriously, I think they had found out. I think through social media, they saw something like that I had just gotten married, and they're like, bring her along. And I think my birthday was like right around the same time.
Yeah.
So it was like sort of like a culmination of a whole variety of things. And they were just very, very generous and kind. We had a great time.
And that was our first destination wedding. And I got to tell you, we are such big fans and advocates of destination weddings. And Puerto Vallarta, amazing. And the Marriott is still to this day the best view that I've ever had. In our tower room facing the bay,
it's a pretty gorgeous hotel.
And
sure.
You can see the photos at crazysexymidlifelove.com. That's where we keep blogs and videos and photos of all of our weddings. We have 25.
Are they really all on that?
a good bunch of them. I
I
don't know
love that.
if
All right,
I
good.
a good bunch of them. I think we're up to the Portugal wedding last year, but for fun, Devin, who was a film editor at Miramax before he became the travel guy, by the way, that was his handle online when we were dating, was travel guy. He edited our first 11 weddings into a 3-minute trailer, which is fun.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, we had a great time. And so
just go to crazysexymidlifelove.com. You can see the video and you can join our community there and you can just peruse all these great places to get married and tips. Because honestly, getting married, I know it's not a great idea at this moment with COVID, but when things open up again, it's far more affordable and it's really, really fun to get married in an exotic, different location.
Right. And so our first, actually our second wedding, our first destination wedding, was this kind of very happenstance thing. We were at some point, the Marriott said, hey, well, why don't we'll sort of like dump you in downtown Puerto Vallarta. There's tons to do. It's a great sort of tourist destination. And we were walking around, and during that trip, we had met a woman named Tama Lee, who is a chef and a super deluxe internet sensation. And
lifestyle blogger. Like Devin, and right. Was also on this press trip.
She was there with us. And at some point, we were just hanging around, and we were passing by the iconic Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is a 150-year-old cathedral in downtown Puerto Vallarta. And quite literally, and I don't even know why it happened, it was totally a goof to me, and I said something to the effect of, I turned to Morgana, and I said, why don't we just go in there and get married again? And Morgana was like, okay. And Tama Lee, who was standing right next to us, said, well, you know, I'm ordained.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, and hopefully Tama Lee will confirm.
And fill in the blanks.
Yeah, we'll fill in the blanks. I think I remember taking off my ring and handing it to her. And I said, okay, great, you're presiding. And we sort of marched to the front of this cathedral, and there were a handful of people in there praying, because it's an active cathedral. And, you know, almost immediately, Tama Lee started talking about her own relationship, her love for her husband, John. And it was wonderful. And I'm still thinking this is a goof. But at the same time, I'm still thinking, you know, during this first round of vows, there was a few other things that I didn't have a chance to say. And so I thought, well, I'll hopefully make them up. You know, I'll say them here right now. And so it was one of those things where it was like, you know, Tama Lee was really saying these really truthful, honest things about love and relationships. And I was inspired by her words. And I said some words to Morgana. And I think I could see like a tear in her eye.
Actually, this wedding hit me so much deeper than the first one. We had witnesses. We were in a sacred place. And I had 2 weeks of experience being married. Like the first time I was like, I have no idea what marriage is like, and I'm going to make up some vows. And now I've been a married woman for 2 weeks, and I had this wealth of experience to draw from. And whatever you said really, really went deep. And it was a deeper experience, which was really surprising to me, and why I encourage any of you out there, if you're already married, to do it again, because it goes deeper with, you know, when you do it again, really, really profound experience. And yeah, I did start to cry. It was really beautiful.
Well, good, good. I mean, that's sort of the goal, really. The goal is
make the woman cry.
Well, no, to move her to feel good and loved and whole and secure and all of those kinds of things. But I think Tama Lee is on line one.
Yes. So quickly, let me just briefly tell you a little bit about Tamalee. Tamalee has the life we all envy. I tried to get her 2 weeks ago, but no, she was off like in Yellowstone with her husband having this wonderful time in nature and beauty and couldn't be bothered. So I was really glad that we could get her today. She has created this amazing life of free luxury trips around the world with her husband, mouth-watering treats in the kitchen that you will just die when you like read the titles of all of her recipes. And she lives this beautiful life of love and adventure with a husband who adores her, and she gets paid to have fun. So, and it's, so this is somebody you really want to hear from. So, Tamalee, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. It's been ages. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Excellent. How was your trip?
Unbelievable. Like, we photographed wolves in Yellowstone, grizzly bears, just dream trip.
Oh, wow. What, you know, one of the things that I really got about you the first time I met you in that gorgeous outdoor lobby at the Marriott is you are somebody who really knows how to enjoy life.
100% my daily goal.
Ha, nice. So how did you get into this, like, successful, money-making, life of travel, blogging lifestyle? You didn't start there.
Oh, I definitely did not start here. I started in corporate risk management with rental
sexy.
Car damage.
Yeah.
Super sexy, death threats, never driving the same way home, high blood pressure in my 30s. Like, not the best moments of living.
Wow.
And then right before our wedding, like 48 hours ahead of time, I got called into my then vice president's office. And I honestly thought I was going in to get the office gift card, you know, the wedding gift from everybody and have a great day off and enjoy your wedding. And I got told my job was ending and they didn't know when, but they didn't want me to get married and go on my Mediterranean honeymoon, not knowing that I wouldn't have a paycheck soon.
Wow.
Super gift.
Whoa.
And at that point, I thought the world was ending.
It kind of was. Yeah.
It kind of was. And it ended up being the best wedding gift we ever could have hoped for. It didn't feel like it in the moment.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm so thankful.
Yay. So how did that lead to where you are now?
I didn't know how to cook. I could barely heat up a pizza because I'd been a corporate executive for so long, and you eat out for business meetings four nights a week and then you eat leftovers three nights a week. And all of a sudden I didn't have a paycheck, and we probably shouldn't live on frozen pizza. So I taught myself to cook, and it was the height of the recession. And so I was used to sitting at a computer. I was used to typing. That was my zone. And so since I didn't have an office to go to, and my husband needed me to stop tearing apart the bathroom because he came home from work and there was no bathroom wall. Oops.
Write about that on your blog.
Yeah. I literally demoed a bathroom one day. Might have had a little aggression from losing my job. Didn't think about how it was going to get put back together. Oops. luckily, we're still married. We made it through that phase. But yeah, I started typing and really not having a plan for it to become anything. It was just an avenue for me to express my new life.
Of destroying bathrooms and learning to cook.
Pretty much, like fully destroying bathrooms and burning a ton of food and making every kitchen mistake. And it really happened so timely with the height of the recession that I wasn't the only person going through this. I just was comfortable sharing it to what I thought was really just family and friends. And I remember the day that like 50 people were on the website when I finally figured out how to look at analytics. And I lost my mind. I was so scared that people were reading it that I was going to stop. And thankfully, my husband had some forethought and was like, just keep typing. This is really therapeutic for you. You should keep typing.
Oh.
And so we did, and I slowly just grew it, unplanned, really, in the beginning. It was just life.
Because now it's enormous and has advertisers and generates revenue.
Now it's my full-time job.
Wow. So. That's amazing. And you, by oh, by the way, if anybody wants to call in and ask Tamalee a question about blogging, cooking, traveling, love, our phone number is 888-627, putting on my glasses, 6008. Again, 888-627-6008. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to keep asking questions. Also, I think you have, well, what would be a tip that you would give to somebody starting out her own blog? What would you recommend?
Be yourself. Don't worry about what the fads are. Don't worry about what you see other people doing. Do what feels right in your soul and what brings you joy, especially when you start out. It's a lot of work, and it's still a lot of work 10, 12 years later, but you got to follow what makes your soul and your joy happy. Otherwise, it just becomes too much.
How much work is it? What is the work of it?
My husband says I'm a workaholic, and 2020 has brought that out. So I work, if we're normally pre-2020, I spent about 150 days a year on the road, traveling, photography, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, that's not quite the option, kind of like Devin was saying earlier in the show. So I am funneling all of that energy into my office and catching up on 8-10 years worth of photos that I haven't quite gotten to.
Right.
So I work 40-60+ hours a week right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. You know, I talked to somebody the other day and said that I work 12-hour, 16-hour days sometimes. And they thought I was crazy, but I'm working my passion and I'm doing what I love. And I get to work at home with my husband 4 feet from me and 6 cats. Like, I love it.
Right. No, we identify with all of that. And I actually have.
And she gets 6 cats.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That part, that just means that there's 2 more cats that we won't need that may show up at the door at some point. But so. So what you just said was interesting, and I don't know if I knew that about your story, because when I was in my mid-40s on sort of a wild hair, I just realized kind of a similar thing, because I had spent so much of my life work-wise just eating out. I, on a lark, bought a cookbook because I just didn't know anything about cooking. My kid was still, you know, little enough, and I just remember thinking at the time when I got this cookbook that there were all these things that, like, I just assumed they were like mystical techniques of cooking that you needed to have. And what I discovered, and of course you could probably elaborate on this, is that it turns out that if you follow the instructions of the recipe, you can make a bomb meal. Like, crazy good. And I, like, I swear I had no idea that was even possible. And I discovered this thing in my mid-40s that was like, oh, you mean I crack an egg and just, like, you know, pick out the broken shells before I cook the egg was like a learning point for me. But most of it was like doable. I didn't realize it was like, oh, you could just do this thing and it can be pretty fantastic, presuming the recipe is great.
100%. And I think there's a lot of, I had a lot of fear, and I know other people have a lot of fear going into cooking. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make it Pinterest worthy or to make it magazine quality when we're feeding our families. But a lot of meals, like, I started a ton of crockpot recipes because you don't have to stress about the time or what you're putting into it. A lot of them, you just dump the ingredients in and walk away and it takes care of it for you. And you get this great, beautiful meal that's not a lot of stress. And so my type of cooking, I mean, I can do fancy cooking, but it's not my norm. I much prefer doing the things that bring me joy and taste good, but I'm not spending epic hours trying to produce them because that's a lot of time, unless I really want to perfect something.
I'm a huge fan of the crock pot kind of thing. I'm a big fan of putting all the like chop up all the chicken and throw it into a thing with some water and some bouillon, and then all of a sudden, in a couple hours, you have something pretty remarkable. Is there sort of like a favorite style that you use that's sort of like this is the go-to?
It really like I like to make dump cakes. I have a sweet tooth, so I really like that I can throw fruit pie, like pie filling fruit stuff in the bottom with a cake mix and butter, and 2 hours later have a cobbler or a dump cake, and the house smells epic. So if we have people coming over, that's my go-to. Like for fall, throw some apple pie filling with a spice cake mix and some butter on top. And let it go, and your house smells like fall, and you literally spent 2 seconds putting it together.
Oh,
Wow.
I'm actually drooling.
Pretty
How did you do that? So I just need to go out and get some pie filling.
much, yeah. Canned pie filling. That's
Yum.
it. And it tastes like you spent so much time on it, and I mean, if you spent 2 minutes from opening the can to getting the can in the recycling bin, that's about it.
You
Wow.
must be everybody's favorite hostess.
It's funny, my mother-in-law is like, because I've been batch cooking, updating some recipes, and she's like, wow, this is a lot of food. Nobody's going to be sad this week because we keep bringing it over, trying to keep her out of the grocery store.
Oh, good strategy.
Yeah.
Going back to calling yourself a workaholic, it's really, really different when it's A, stuff you love and enjoy, and it's your own business.
Fully and
Very, very
completely.
different than working for somebody else.
It doesn't feel like work. You know, I'm sure
Yeah.
there's days where I'm doing accounting and things like that, then I'm like, whew, okay, almost done. But then there's other days that I'm processing photos, looking back on a dream trip of what last week watching wolves in Yellowstone, thinking, wow, we made this happen. And you just have that moment where you have to pause and be joyful and grateful for the things that happened to lead to this moment that you never could have anticipated.
So let's switch to love. Tell us about your relationship with your husband, John.
He's amazing. He is my best friend, my person. Like, he is the other half that balances me out and handles me and knows what I need on a daily basis. And it just gets better every day.
So how did you do that? I mean, I certainly have my own opinion on how I did it, but what was the thing? In other words, had love and relationships always been easy for you, or was that something?
No. You know, have you heard the new Taylor Swift song about invisible strings tying you together?
I have not, but I do like Taylor Swift. I have to admit that.
Yeah, nor have
Have
I
you?
because I'm just impossibly unhip. I'll have to look it up after the show.
This new song on this new album she just released talks about how there's an invisible string tying her to this person and how over time this string just brings you closer and closer. That's how my relationship with John was without us even knowing. I mean, to the point that when I was in college 20 plus years ago, I went as a college student to the state park where he was working, and he handled the cabins and sections that my class was at. And then fast forward 8 years later, he lived across the street from me. We went to the same gym. We went to the same grocery store, unbeknownst to us. 2 days after he moved from across the street to 20, 30 minutes down the road, we met online and started building that relationship. And we still, 15 years in, talk about things that I'm like, no, wait, I was there at that point. But we just weren't either of us in the place we were supposed to be for that string to pull us together until it happened.
So, who did you need to be? What changed between when you were in your 20s and when you were ready for it to happen?
I had to be happy and comfortable with myself and feel like I could have someone else in my life. I think in my 20s, I was so focused on my corporate job and moving up the ladder that I wouldn't have been and wasn't good in a relationship because my thoughts and emotions and everything were tied to my corporate job. So I couldn't give somebody what they needed. And I think at the point that we met was a point where I was comfortable in my job and I was comfortable with who I was. And I finally just let go and said, I'm going to meet the right person when I meet him. And then lo and behold, I did.
When I approached you about this interview, I told you that like the point of the show is that midlife love is better. And your response was so excited. So what do you think of midlife love?
I think midlife love is the most amazing thing. I think it gets better every single day. I think that as we get more comfortable, even at 44 with who we are in this time and place, we get more comfortable with each other. We get more comfortable with communication. I think being in our 40s, we don't feel the constraints of like what you're supposed to do or have to do or any of all of that that you hear in your early 20s about what a relationship is supposed to be. Now we just feel comfortable communicating and talking about what we need and why we love each other. And I mean, to the point that every night before we go to sleep, we tell each other three things we're grateful for. And I would say every night it starts with each other.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you're doing these trips together. In fact, I think I read that your husband started a blog. And
did.
And how's that going?
It's amazing. He spent 20 years as a park ranger, a law enforcement park ranger, and had both knees blown out at work, which was one of those unplanned moments where you never know what's coming. And unfortunately, he was unable to continue doing law enforcement due to the impact of the knee injuries. And when he left, he still wanted to talk to people about parks. He still wanted to share his love of parks. So we started Park Ranger John, and now he gets to do interpretive programs every day online for people and help them enjoy the most of the parks having to be law enforcement.
That's amazing. I love that. And so do you do a lot of parks with him across the country, or is there particular local ones that you go to?
We do a ton of national parks across the country. That's been one of the benefits really for us here in 2020 is that it slowed us down from hopping a plane to the next place. And it's really had us do a lot more road trips and spend a lot more time together in the car, driving to Yellowstone, driving to Mount Rainier. And that's one of my favorite places to be, because when we're in the car together, we come up with our big audacious dreams and our goals, and we just get to take a deep breath and be together.
Yeah, that's lovely. So you mentioned a couple minutes ago shooting, taking pictures, of course, taking pictures of wolves and grizzly bears. So
yeah.
Is there a trick to that, as a grizzly bear is really pretty badass?
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah.
Right. So how do you approach that? And we're going to get back to the love thing, but I can't help myself because I'm an amateur photographer, actually quasi professional. And you know, as soon as you say grizzly bear, I'm like, oh yes. And then I think, oh no.
I want
definitely
no part of both
it.
Of that. Yeah.
Right,
I think,
I'm sure there is. So how does that play out?
I think it's being twofold. One, always being safe and aware of your surroundings. And putting yourself in a place that you can safely photograph an animal. And so, like, we were in Grand Teton, and the grizzly bears were crazy active. And so, I mean, at one point we had to stop because there was two grizzly bears walking down the road, and we got pictures of bear butts literally just walking down the middle of the road. So being in a place where they're very active, even just 20 feet off the road, 10 feet off the road, and you can shoot from your car, is a really great place to do it. Outside of that, it's just really being safe and aware. I will say we had a few moments of gasping and holding our breaths as people made the choice to run towards the grizzly bear. And then when the grizzly bear looked up from eating and was disturbed, they took off running, and we weren't quite sure what we were getting into.
Right. That's the gasping part that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, that was a little scary, like watching that grizzly bear after it had just stripped a 15-foot tree like it was a twig, all and with, you know, massive claws, looking at these people like, do I, don't I? And you're sitting in your car going, oh my gosh, this is not what I signed up to see.
Right.
But other than being bear food, if you're foolish and walking up to grizzly bears, it seems like this year that going to a national park is a great thing to do because you're far away from people and you have all that fresh air, and it seems like a really romantic and safe and socially distanced way to take a trip or a vacation or have a destination wedding.
Oh, I mean, we saw some people getting their photos taken in their wedding dress and tux with the Tetons in the background. And I was like, oh, hey, note to self.
That would be perfect for you.
Anyway, I mean, we've been married by Elvis in Vegas. That was our second wedding. I was like, maybe a national park one is our third.
Oh, so you're getting married too multiple times. Yay.
So I agree with what you said in the beginning about how it just reminds you of that joining of love and the steps that you've taken. And I surprised John for our 10th anniversary. He'd always joked for years that we were going to get married by Elvis. And so I surprised him in Vegas with the full wedding ceremony with Elvis. And it was so much fun.
No, that sounds incredible. And yeah, I think the idea of the wedding is that, at least for most people, is that there's this one special day and we have this one day and then you go out and live your life and hopefully it's a happy ever after thing. And I certainly want that for everybody. But at the same time, then regular life takes over. And I think that relationships just need, I think they need work. I think you have to show up for the other person. You have to, like, there's a balancing act. Is that something that you are, you know, it sounds like you're pretty hip to that idea. Is there, are
100%.
There things, what do you do if it's not too personal? Are there certain things that you do that are just sort of like, this is what I do for my husband because he's my guy?
I think it's truly being open every day to being in the moment with that person. And not every day is beautiful. Not every day is the most bucket list moment. But sometimes when you're having those days that are just, you know, they're wearing on you, is the moment that you see the love for that person even more when they're either supporting you or you're supporting them. And I think for us, we talk about it. We probably tell each other that we love each other, I'm going to say 20, 30 times a day some days. Not in a cheesy way, but just an FYI. I love you so much. And we just really try to take the time to support each other. We realized a while ago that we were communicating in different ways about finances and about projects and things. So it's probably been 3-4 years ago now, we started having weekly badass meetings where once a week we sit down and we talk about what we needed to achieve that week and where we're at on our finances and where we're at on our goals, just as a 20-minute centering that has been huge for us. It's really brought us to the point that we can just sit down and have those conversations, and it's a designated time, and we have the follow-through, and it's not that weight of like, oh my gosh, did he do it? Did I do it? Every week we check in with each other.
And how did that manifest? Like, where did that come from?
We weren't doing it, you know? It was one person was paying some bills, one person was paying other bills, but nobody was really, we weren't talking about it. And I think the more you combine together and you have those conversations, we realized that we had some really big goals we wanted to reach, but if we didn't talk about them and we didn't break down the walls of really talking about things, we weren't going to get them.
Wow, that's a great idea.
So what were sort of like the biggest lessons or the takeaways from when you started doing that?
How much we were both doing without the other person knowing.
Mm.
and truly how much we were both dedicating or focused on something, but we didn't always see how much the other person had done to reach those goals. And so sometimes we were duplicating things that didn't need to be duplicated. And then financially, we had a lot more money we could put towards saving for the house that we built and things like that than we realized because we hadn't talked about it.
Mm. Something that I really love about what you've been sharing in your journey is how the two of you have been there for each other during these, what could have been really awful, disruptive, make or break moments in your relationship where you lose your job and that you would put years and years and identity and dreams and expectations into. And then when your husband lost his vocation, which is, you know, being the park ranger and that he had been for so long could have been really disruptive to the relationship. And it sounds like the way you were there for each other actually brought you closer together. What was it like going through those pivotal moments?
I mean, I can definitely say there were some ugly days. There was tears. There was all of the things you would expect from losing jobs. And both of them were unplanned. They weren't something that we had planned for or we had seen coming in our future. So they really rocked our world in everything that we had planned. Like, John lost his job 2 months before we signed for our new house. And so we had put money down. We had built our dream house. And literally 2 months before we sign it, we're like, what do we tell the bank? And we had to go through that process of, so hi, can we still have our house? And I think we could have let each of these pivotal life moments totally break us down, but we really focused on getting through them together. And I think that's one of the benefits of not meeting really until I was 29 or 30 and going through these in our mid-30s, late-30s. We had some life experience and trust in each other, especially when John lost his job, to be able to weather the storm and to support each other going through it. It wasn't pretty at days. We had rough days. We had to live in my mother-in-law's trailer for weeks on end because we didn't have a place to live. We had previously been living in a park house for rangers and had to move out of that. So our entire life went into a storage unit, and we packed up the cats and moved into my mother-in-law's single wide trailer with the cats and us and her, and it was an adventure.
Yeah. Right, and you lived to tell the tale.
It was close a few days, it really was, but we did.
Right, I'm sure. I mean, I think that's what the universe tends to do, is that it gives you an opportunity to say, well, are you sure?
Yes.
And then you have to double down on this sort of challenging thing or the challenging relationship or the personality clash or all of those things. So I think that's remarkable that you guys have weathered those challenges together.
Yeah, I totally believe the same thing, that the universe puts that test in front of you and you either break or you come out so much stronger.
Right, absolutely. And it sounds like you guys have done exactly that. And actually, I wanted to make a comment about, you know, I was telling the story about Morgan and I, and you officiating that second wedding, which we hold so dear in our hearts. But when I really think about it, there was a certain set of things that had to happen for that to actually move forward. And for it to move forward, I got to learn all these things about myself and within a relationship. And part of that is there was a point where I turned to Morgan and said, let's go in there and get married. And then there was a part that is subtle, where you said, you know, I'm ordained. Because it would have been very easy for me to have said, hey, let's go in there and get married. And then as I'm walking through the door, say, I'm not going to do that. Because there was a whole, because life is filled with apprehensions. And when I look back at that, and I'm not even sure if there's a question here, but what ended up happening was when you were like, Yeah, I'm ordained. It was sort of like, yeah, no, let's go. We're doing this, if that makes any sense. And so I was curious if that was sort of part of your, you know, was that part of your experience? Was that something new for you? Or was there like sort of like, hey, spirit of adventure, let's go run headlong into this thing? Because I think if Morgana had showed any apprehension, or if you showed any apprehension, I would have probably happily backed off. Because up until the moment we were actually having the wedding, I'm like, oh, this is just some silly, goofy thing. So I didn't need much to be swayed in another direction. But instead, you both were sort of like, in that moment, had enough certainty to say, yeah, no, we're striving forward.
I think in that moment, there was, I don't even know how to describe it. It felt right. There was no question, like, as you said it, and the three of us looked at each other, it was like we were united in, let's make this happen. Mm. And standing in front of that church with people staring at us, we just felt right. You know, there was, I mean, people were a little confused, let's be honest, but the three of us were in that moment. There was, I don't want to say like a protective wall, but it felt right. There was nothing planned. The words that I said came from the heart with no planning, and they just flowed so easily. Both of you flowed so easily. I'm pretty sure that I had tears too in the same time, thinking about John in the same moment. And it just, you know, I remember standing there getting chills, feeling like this is the place I'm supposed to be in the world right now.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of those, I think where you just described it is really sort of resonates with me, that there's sort of like, you know, my conception or understanding of God or the cosmic ooze or the, you know, whatever you want to describe it, is sort of like it was really significant. It was a very profound kind of like where you're talking about invisible strings that sort of like unite us and bind us together in these moments that just, they need to be taking places. And maybe on sort of like that grand universal thing, this little moment that we shared may not have been that big, but it was for me.
It was for us. And that was when you got the idea that we kind of came out of the church going, oh my God, this was amazing. We should get married everywhere.
Right. And that's obviously what we're just going to keep doing that over and over again.
And something I loved about that wedding, because in kind of the model and the paradigm where you just have that one big day and it has to be perfect and you have to have the dress and nothing can go wrong, which is so much pressure for a little baby marriage. The three of us had just had a massage. Nobody was wearing makeup. We were all sweaty. We were not dressed for a wedding. And it was perfect anyway.
Oh, we were not pretty that day. We were hot. There was nothing pretty that day.
Oil.
Yeah, it was fun. Again, we have very, very fond memories. I think the only thing that I regret is that I didn't have enough wherewithal to get a picture of the three of us together.
Yeah.
Does that mean we have to go back to Puerto Vallarta?
I'm fine kidding. With that. That's good, because we're actually due to get married again. So, you know, you can marry us, and honestly, we can marry you and your husband. So
it would be so perfect.
It would kind of be perfect. How long has it been? Well, what was it? So
six years ago.
6 years ago?
6 years ago,
babe. Yeah, no, time just floats by and marches on.
I think that was June.
One of my favorite restaurants in the world, a couple blocks down from the church.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Which one was that? I don't think we ate there.
No, it's one I found on subsequent trips that has a mocajete queso verde, and it's this epic open oyster bar / brewery, La Cerveza Union, and it's I finally got to take John there in February pre-COVID on a cruise, and it's probably one of my top three restaurants in the world.
Whoa, because we had great food when we went to Puerto Vallarta. There was that restaurant that you could only get to by boat.
Mm-hmm. Remember?
Oh, right. I remember that place.
That was fun. And then there was that other restaurant with the like fancy white decor and the famous Mexican chef.
La Leche.
That was also really, really good. Devin is rolling his eyes because I he thought I was flirting with the chef. So
oh right.
I'm pretty sure that chef was definitely flirting.
Yeah, no, definitely. There was flirting going on. I think on both
there
ends.
There was some flirting.
Yeah, no, there totally was. So, but I totally forgot about that. Yeah, no, that's hilarious. So do you do a lot of travel through your it's primarily cooking and lifestyle, yeah?
It's both. I mean, it's really both. We travel 100, 150 days a year on a normal year between both websites. But my goal now is to be able to help people have amazing meals at home and then also recreate those epic meals that they have while traveling. So like for Puerto Vallarta, I came home and made a mango margarita after a recent trip because I'd had this epic fresh mango margarita. And I was like, I may not be on a yacht in the Bay of Banderas, but I'm sure my backyard in Spokane can transport me there if I make a mango margarita.
That's a good idea. And is there a tip to a mango margarita?
Ooh, make more than one. Make a big pitcher.
Do you have a cookbook? I thought you were working on a cookbook at one point.
We were in talks for a cookbook, but the publisher had very interesting thoughts on how quickly one should be able to produce 150 new recipes versus what actually it takes to produce 150 new recipes.
Right.
So we ended up walking away because no one needs that many crock pots going in their house at one time.
Right. Right. No, that must be, I mean, it must be certainly a year or two because you probably want to make it so it could be easily recreated. So how do you develop recipes?
I do. I play a lot in the kitchen. I spend currently a couple days a week playing in the kitchen. I make every mistake that anyone at home is making. I burn food. I massacre things because I'm trying to create something that's easy for everybody else. So I really try to streamline it and make sure that it tastes great and it saves people time and hopefully stress. I mean, I remember the stress of stepping in the kitchen when I was first starting to learn to cook and being so scared that I was going to, you know, waste our single income budget on food and kill it. And there's so much pressure, especially when you're not making what you were used to making, to make a meal that everyone eats and you don't lose that money.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of saving going on if you're actually sort of, I read somewhere not that long ago that the average person wastes about 40% of the food that they buy. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's true. I haven't, you know.
Well, and that's actually, I read that that's one of the big challenges with the whole like climate change is that we're wasting so much food. And if we actually used it better, that would be good for the planet and everybody's pocketbook. And you have your recipes posted online at your website. And we're going to have a link to your website in the show notes when those go live. But I think your website is Tamily Tips, correct?
Perfect.
And that's for anybody listening, T-A-M as in Mary, M as in Mary, I-L-E-E, tips, T-I-P-S, .com.
Wow. So
and they're all there, free to visit.
And you will get all slobbery salivating just looking at the recipes.
Right. I got to say, I do love, I mean, that's one of the great joys of travel for me is just being somewhere and having the authentic thing in the place.
That's
what I kind of love. So what's happening for you? What's your goals for the next year? Maybe that's a big question.
No, I was actually thinking of asking the same thing. What are these big audacious goals that you and John are cooking up?
We're really focused on, one, catching up on photos, because we take a lot of photos, but two, really building Park Ranger John and getting all of that content out because people are road tripping this year. They're visiting national parks, and we want to give that real life information of what to expect in the park. It's one thing to see the beautiful photos and think, I need to go there. It's another thing to realize that to get that photo is an 8-mile hike. And so we want to help people understand, based on where they're at in their life, whether they're totally in for an 8-mile hike or whether they have creaky, busted up knees and would rather be driving a park. We want to help people have the best experience while they're there and give them an idea of what truly to expect. Because it's really hard when you see that photo and you're like, I have to have that in my life. And then you realize you need a permit or my body can't make it there.
Right. No, I've had that experience on more than one occasion.
Oh, welcome to Midlife Love. Last week, Devin was talking about love being when you take your loved one to the emergency room at 3 a.m. because I strained a muscle doing a very gentle breast stroke. Like, yep. How does that happen? Yes, be gentle. Oh, yeah. Be gentle with your body. And don't walk up to grizzly bears.
And don't walk up to grizzly bears. It's truly a good life lesson right there. Don't walk up right to grizzly bears or other large creatures.
So we have tamalitips.com.
For food, travel, and life.
Yes.
And what else are we missing about you and your own? Do you and John have any sort of like particularly romantic escapes planned, or is part of your just sort of like the work life that you guys are leading, is that sort of like fill the hole? Does that fill the gaps?
I think for us, we look at loving every single day. And normally we plan a trip to Hawaii or something like that, yearly, tropical. COVID's kind of sidetracked that. But even with that, we look at every single day as a gift, and that we live our love every day, and we look forward to the special moments, and we look forward to the romantic getaways, but the percentage of time of that compared to the everyday life, we really focus on just really living in love every single day.
Mm. And that is the gift. That is the marriage. The trips are fun, but it's the day-to-day. I think you said that you say I love you to each other at least 20 times a day. You share gratitude before you go to bed. I love that you said he's your person, because I talk about Devin that way. And that when the most mundane, boring, everyday thing is romantic, that's when you've hit a home run.
100%. Like, I had to leave the house today to run the cat to the vet. And I was like, wait a second, I have to be away from you for like a half an hour. This is weird, especially with COVID and us not leaving the house much. But you savor that time together. It feels so good, whether you're sitting watching TV and you have that glance at each other because you're both thinking that sarcastic thought out loud, watching some horrible reality TV show. Or just those little moments. I think those little moments of love are truly the most important parts of it.
Do you have any Tamalee tips on love for our listeners before we wrap it up?
I think being open to it and releasing your expectation of what love has to look like or what it has to be, and being open to what love is for you.
Oh, I know we have very little time left, but I just have to ask. So how is what love is different than what you thought it was when you were younger?
I think growing up, I grew up in the 70s and 80s where there was much more of a male-dominated, female housekeeping, cleaning, keeping the house type of portrayal of love.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, love is 50-50. You know, most days, some days it's 80-20. We ebb and flow with what we each need and what our life needs, but we don't have those set roles that I grew up seeing and expecting marriage to look like. I feel like we've really shattered that, where I'm listed as the CEO and president of the company. And, you know, we've had people only want to speak to John, and John say, well, you can talk to me, but she runs the business, so she has the answers. And so I think just losing that expectation and that what you see or what you think you have to have, and just leaning in to what love really is.
Thank you so much, Tamalee. It's been so great catching up with you, and I actually got some great ideas from what you shared. And as somebody who thinks she can't cook, you're giving me, or maybe Devin, maybe giving Devin hope that there is hope for me.
Yeah, no, I don't think that my lovely wife is planning on learning anything about cooking anytime in the near future. That's sort of been my role.
Yeah.
Sort of since day one.
So
I can almost guarantee that I have a recipe that you cannot kill.
Okay.
That will
taste
amazing.
Oh my gosh. I hope you're going to send it, because I just want to see the attempt.
Just the scientific experiment. So if anybody wants to catch up with you and explore your recipes and your travels and your amazing website, TamaleeTips.com. And we will be back next week. And if you want to check up on our 100 weddings, we're at 25 weddings in 20 countries. Go to crazysexymidlifelove.com. See the trailer. Sign up for Devin's ebook for free download. And come back next week for more Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
Yeah, no, that's it. We've had a wonderful episode with Tamalee of Tamalee's Tips. And we're going to enjoy the rest of our evening and hopefully keep love strong throughout the universe.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.